we're rapidly approaching the holiday season, and we've got a lot of people that are going to be going out of town, and some people coming out into town, and I don't begrudge the traveling, except going to California in nice warm weather while we're here. No, I don't begrudge that at all. We're glad to be able to go and see friends and family, and it's good when they come and visit us too, and we're happy when they can do that. And we need to remember all of those who are going to be traveling here in the next few weeks, and keep them in our prayers, and those that are away from us. But we're glad that you're here today, and we're glad that it's all of us are here, and it's good for us to be here. It's good that we can come together this morning and to worship God, and I want to thank you for helping me to do that this morning. In the passage that we have up here on the board, Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14, that's a fairly familiar refrain to us, and it's a prophecy of Almighty God. It's not the only one in the Old Testament, but it's one of the prophecies of Almighty God relative to the coming of the Messiah. And it's speaking about a virgin who shall conceive and bear a child, or bring forth a child, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which of course means God with us. So this is a statement that's made in the Old Testament relative to Christ, the one that we worship, the one that we serve every day. We think about our Savior, Jesus Christ. So it behooves us from time to time, even though we may think we know all about Jesus Christ, as the Bible has reflected upon it, it behooves us from time to time to think about Jesus Christ and who He is. Who is it that we worship? Who is it that we think about? And I realize that we're coming into the season, the Christmas season, Christ Mass, if you will. And you may think the timing may not be great on this sermon, but it's the Jesus who we worship. The world is coming to know at this point of time. They know this celebration that the world has chosen to celebrate this time as the birth of Christ. We have nothing in the Bible that tells us that this was the time that Christ was born. But the world has chosen that, and they've set an arbitrary date. And it behooves us to know who it is that we worship. And that's why I've chosen this topic this morning. And we're going to continue on for several studies on this. Why is it that we've assembled here this morning? Why is it that we've sung so many songs about Jesus Christ? And Eddie did a good job on the song selection. It fit right in. We didn't meet ahead of time and discuss what the topic was going to be, but he did a good job of reading my mind, if you will. So who is this Christ that was prophesied way back there in the Old Testament, way back in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14? Well, I suggest to you that we're going to find out who he is by looking at some of the various characteristics of Christ, or some things that describe to us in the Bible who Jesus Christ is. And as I said, the world at this time, they acknowledge that, Jesus Christ existed. That's a good thing. That's, we get so wrapped up in trying to keep our religion separate from this time that the world celebrates as a holy day, if you will. But the world knows Christ. The world knows Christ, and we should know Christ, not as the world knows, but as God would have us to know. So first of all, we're going to look at his name. What is the name that was given to Jesus Christ? And looking at that name, we're going to see some things that are essential to understanding who Jesus Christ is. In Isaiah, the 9th chapter, and in verse 6, as I said a little while ago, Isaiah chapter 7 is not the only passage that speaks about this, but we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9 now and verse 6. Isaiah, again, this is prophesying the words of God, and he said, "For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government is on his shoulders." Now, this tells us something about Jesus Christ, doesn't it? Tells us about who Jesus is, because this is a prophecy of Christ. The government will be on his shoulders, this passage says. He will be called Wonderful Counselor. He'll be called Mighty God. He'll be called Everlasting Father. He'll be called Prince of Peace. Now, some translations put a comma between Wonderful and Counselor, and they suggest that he's called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But all of these designations tell us something about who is Jesus Christ. And all of these things can be said to be his name. We can call him Wonderful. We can call him Counselor. We can call him Mighty God, or we can call him Everlasting Father, or you can call him Prince of Peace. It's interesting to me. It's interesting that these are designations that are given to Jesus Christ, because some of them we never think about when we think about Jesus Christ in the New Testament. We think about God, the Father in heaven. We think about Jesus being on earth. We think about the fact that he's also called Everlasting Father. We don't think about that, do we? We don't think about Jesus as being Father. We think about him being the Son of God. We don't think about him being Father, Everlasting Father, we're told. We're going to see that why that's the case a little bit later on. And we're going to see that he's also called God. But we see that he's called Mighty God. The Mighty God. Because of these things that Jesus Christ was able to do, not only while he's here on earth, but because of the things that he's doing right now. For instance, Jesus Christ is able to wash away our sins because he shed his blood while he was here on earth. So he is the Mighty God. Nobody else can do that. Christ is able to wash away our sins because of the blood that he shed. Let's look at another passage here. Now we're going to go to the New Testament, Matthew, the first chapter. And in verse 23 this time, you're probably familiar with this one too. But here is the prophecy concerning the birth of Christ. And here's the angel of the Lord speaking, and he said, "Behold, the virgin shall be with child." The virgin's going to be with child. If you remember in Isaiah chapter 7, that's the passage we looked at the very beginning. It said a virgin would conceive and bear a son, and he would be called Emmanuel. Well, here's the beginning of the fruition of that in Matthew, the first chapter. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and bear a son, and they shall call him Emmanuel," which translated is God with us. Well, we notice that in the Old Testament. Now we see it in the New Testament. So he's going to be God with us. God with us. Who is this Christ? He's the Mighty God we've seen, but he is also God with us. God with me. God with you. Let's look in Philippians, the second chapter. Beginning in verse 9, the Apostle Paul said something about this. He said that God has also highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name. Now, I think we can understand that. That if he is Wonderful, he is Counselor, the Mighty God, Prince of Peace, if this is who Jesus Christ is, his name is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those peoples under the earth, verse 11, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to the glory of God the Father. In other words, His name is above every name. Everyone, everything is going to bow down to Jesus Christ because of who Jesus Christ is. So when we ask the question, who is Jesus Christ? The Bible answers that question, doesn't it? It tells us something about who He is, doesn't it? It tells us something about who He is by telling us what His name is. He is wonderful. In fact, He is more wonderful than anything else. He is the greatest counselor of all time. He is the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. That's who Jesus Christ is. Let's look at something else. The Bible tells us that He is the Son of God. Now, I recognize that we all recognize that. I realize that. And I recognize that He is the Son of God, and you recognize that. But the Bible tells us something about who He is as the Son of God that explains to us about who Jesus Christ is. In Luke, the first chapter, beginning in verse 31, the Scripture says, "Thou shalt conceive in thy womb," again, now here is the angel of the Lord speaking to the woman Mary, "and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." You're going to call his name Jesus. "And he shall be great." Look at this. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Most High." Now here's a different designation, isn't it? Of course it means the same thing. He is the Son of God, but here he is called the Son of the Most High. He is called the Son of the one that we refer to as God the Father. So he is the Son of the Father. He is the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of David. Because of who he is, he's going to sit upon a throne. Because of who he is, God his Father will give unto him the throne of his father David. So he is the Son of the Most High, and he's going to sit on a throne. The throne of his father David. Let's look on and continue on in Luke, the first chapter, in verse 35. This is another gospel that refers to the birth of Christ. "And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Most High shall overshadow thee. Wherefore also the holy thing which is begotten shall be called the Son of God. The holy thing which has begotten in her shall be called the Son of God." Now we've seen two passages here. One says he is the Son of the Most High. This passage says he's the Son of God. Now I realize that nobody in here disagrees with that. You already believe that. That Jesus is the Son of God. But these things tell us who Jesus Christ is. Turn back in Matthew. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. Again, we read, "A voice out of the heaven saying, This is the Father," now speaking from heaven, saying something about Christ. And he says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." The Bible says he's the Son of the Most High. This passage says that he's the beloved Son of God. He's my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. We've also seen that he was the begotten of the Father. He's the Son of God. The Son of God, Jesus Christ. In John chapter 20, beginning with verse 30, the Scripture says here, "And truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book, but these things are written that you may believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that believing you may have life in His name. Believe what? Believe that Jesus Christ, Jesus is the Christ, and He is the Son of God. These are things to believe. If you believe that, He said, you'll have life in My name. What is it that we are to believe? We are to believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Son of God. So when we talk about Christ, who is He? He is the Christ, the Son of God. In other words, Christ has to do with the Messiah. And we'll see that a little bit later on when we get to that point. But He is the Christ. He is Jesus, the Christ. Who is the Christ? He is the Son of God. And when we believe in that, we'll have life in His name. So let's look at something else here. I suggested to you at the beginning that He is referred to as the Mighty God. He is God. Now sometimes we think about Jesus Christ and the relationship that we enjoy today, spiritually. We don't think about Him maybe as God. He is God. He's part of the Godhead. He is God, just like the Holy Spirit is God. He is God. The Bible describes Him so in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. As we go back to the Old Testament, let's look in Isaiah again, in chapter 46 this time. Chapter 46 and verse 9 in Isaiah. Isaiah here, and that's the book that we've been looking at all along, so we're not jumping back and forth too much. We started out in chapter 9, and now we're going to look in verse 46. And all of these passages were prophecies concerning Jesus Christ. This one tells us, I am God. So it's as if Jesus Christ is speaking to us today, and He says, I am God, and there is no other. I am God. There is none like Me. You know, way back in the book of Exodus, the one that we refer to as the Father, God the Father, was speaking to the children of Israel, and He told them that they are to have no other gods before Him because He is the only God. Well, Jesus is, Christ is God too. It is the Godhead. There is only one Godhead. Hear Jesus Christ in prophecy as He is speaking and saying, I am God, and there are no other gods than Me. That's what He's saying. I am God. There is none like Me. There is no other. There is none like Me, He says. I am God. I make known the end from the beginning. I know it. In other words, He is God. He's able to do this. No other God can do this. Make known the end from the beginning. He can tell us what's going to happen at the end before you even know what the beginning is. He can tell you all of those things from the ancient times. He can tell us what is still to come. He can look into the future. We can't do that. We have no capacity or ability to do that, but God can. He can look into the future. He can say, I say, My purpose will stand, and I will do all that I please. You want to know something about Jesus Christ? He's the person who says, when I say, it will happen. What I say will stand fast. What I say will come to pass. My purpose will stand. I will do as I please. He is God. That tells us something about the power of Jesus Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? He's the Mighty God, we see. No wonder He is referred to there in Isaiah chapter 9. His name shall be called Mighty God, for He can do as He pleases, and it will come to pass. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8, here we're going to go into the New Testament. The end of the New Testament as the books of the Bible are laid out in our Bible today. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 8 in the New Testament, we read him saying, I am the Alpha. Notice it's Jesus himself speaking here. He says, I am the Alpha and I am the Omega, says the Lord God. And here he is referred to as Lord God. Not just the Lord, but the Lord God. He is the Lord God. He is referred to as the Lord God. He is the one who is and who was and who is to come. He is the Almighty. I am the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the end. Two words, by the way, are from the Greek alphabet. The first letter and the last letter of the Greek alphabet, Alpha and Omega. It means the beginning and the ending. I am the Alpha and the Omega. I'm the beginning and the ending. He was before all things. He is after all things. He is the mighty God. He is Almighty. That's who God is. That's who Jesus Christ is. We look in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 9. We've looked at this before, but I want you to see in this passage. This passage says, For in him is the fullness, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. You know, there's a movement along today that's infecting brethren in the churches of Christ, that they're saying Jesus was not deity while he was here on earth. Here it tells us that he is. And of course, Paul is saying here, what he's saying here is that while Jesus was here on earth, he was God. And some have denied that. Some suggest that he was just a created being, that he was nothing but a mere man. Maybe he had a few more powers than other men had. That's because the Holy Spirit gave him some powers that other men didn't have. Maybe he was a super apostle or something like that, but the Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches us that he is the mighty God while he was here on earth. And he's still mighty God. He is God. He is deity. He was deity while he was on earth. He is deity today. And of all the Godhead that dwells in him, notice that while he was here upon earth, the scripture says of him that he dwells in bodily form. This is Jesus Christ. But I suspect that you would agree with this, that he is Lord. And the Bible tells us something about that he is Lord. We understand something about who is Christ. When we look up all these various passages and they tell us about his lordship. For instance, when we look in Acts the second chapter and in verse 36, the Apostle Peter is preaching here, the first gospel sermon, and he said, Let all the house of Israel know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ. This Jesus who you crucified, when Peter was saying, when he was saying that, he was talking about a superior Lord. There were lords in existence when Peter said that. There were physical, human lords. But he's saying he is both Lord and Christ. He is more than a physical Lord that you know about. He is also that Christ. He is Lord and Christ. He is this person that you crucified. Jesus, whom you murdered, is Lord and Christ. Let's turn to 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 15, here the Apostle Paul said, He is Lord of lords. He is Lord of lords above all others. So who is this Christ? He is above all others. The idea of a Lord is having servants. The idea of a Lord is having a kingdom. The idea of a Lord is being over a group of people. And he is the Lord over all lords. In other words, all other lords are underneath him. This is who Jesus Christ is. He is Lord of lords. So who is this Jesus that we're talking about? Jesus, the one who is the mighty God. Jesus is the one who is the Lord of lords and King of kings. This Jesus whom we're talking about, who is He? Jesus is the Son of God. Not just a Son, but the Son of God. Now that's significant, folks, because there's some religions out there, some religious groups that think that Jesus was a Son of God, or maybe just a prophet. They don't look at Him as being the Son of God. But I'll tell you what, folks, you know, we're also sons of God. We're children of God if we obey the gospel, but we're not the Son of God. We're not begotten of the Father. We're not one of those that were born of a virgin. We're adopted. He is the Son of God. Jesus is the Son of God. This Jesus Christ, He is God Himself, as we've seen. He is a mighty God. He's a God over all things. He is Lord God, as we've seen. He's also Lord of lords. He is King of kings. So who is this Christ that we worship? That's who He is. And next time, Lord willing, we're going to look at some other things that are descriptive of Jesus Christ that will help us to understand who is this Christ that we worship. And we need to understand who it is that we worship. We need to understand who is this Christ. He's not just some figure that's talked about in the Old Testament or in the New Testament. And all of these passages represent to us with regard to who Jesus Christ is, and we need to understand them. We need to know Him intimately. Jesus said He will make Himself known to us if we know Him. If we keep His commandments, He said, He will come and know you. So we need to know who is Jesus Christ. We need to know who He is. We need to know something about Christ. So this is a passage in John 4. John chapter 4, about a woman saying something that she knew the Messiah was going to come, and Jesus Christ says, I am He. I am that Messiah. So next time in our lesson, we're going to look at who this Messiah is. We're going to look at that passage, and we're going to examine that passage where He says, I am He. What's that mean? When Jesus Christ says, I am He. Who is it that we worship? Who is it that we give credence to? It's Jesus Christ. But who is this Christ? I suggest to you that He is more than just some figure in the New Testament that we read about. He's more than just a figure in history, and we can read about Him in some of the history books. It's more encompassing than that. We need to know who Christ is. And if we're going to worship God as we ought to worship God, we need to know the mighty God. We need to know the everlasting Father. We need to know the wonderful Counselor. We need to know the Prince of Peace. And we need to understand that because of all of this, He has the power to save. He washes away our sins in His blood. Do you believe in Jesus? Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you understand who Jesus Christ is? Are you willing to give your life to Jesus Christ, the one that we've talked about this morning, this mighty God, the everlasting Father, this Prince of Peace, this wonderful Counselor? Are you willing to give your life to Him? The totality of your being to Him in hope of eternal resurrection and everlasting life. If you're willing to do that, to come to Jesus this morning and recognize that the power of the blood of Jesus Christ and the participate in that blood figuratively by being baptized into Jesus Christ. We can do that today as a penitent believer. You can come confessing faith in Christ, and then you'll rise to walk in newness of life. Who is this Christ? He is Lord. He is God. He is everlasting. He's the Prince of Peace. He gives us life. and He'll give you life. He'll do that today. We have a song of invitation. There's a fountain free. It's for you and me. In that fountain, we can be washed and we can be rinsed as clean and as white as snow. Jesus Christ can do that because of who He is. Our song of invitation, what is it, number 655. It's for you and me. It's the fountain of love from the source above, and He bids us all to freely drink. Will you come? That's the question that's in the chorus. Will you come to this fountain? Will you do that today as together we sing?